I try not to make long plans because I'm at that. I treat everybody sort of like they're a date now, and I'm just like 20-minute increments. I'll see people or talk to people, and then I have to.
Your dates are so short.
It's because I'm unlikable.
The dates I've had have tended to be at least an hour plus long. But I'm a talker, so that makes sense.
That does make sense. I just feel like if I'm not feeling it, you know me, like if I'm not feeling something, I shut down. Like I don't even have it in me to fake it for the next hour.
No, and then you leave me.
And then I abandon people.
You know what's worse? I give you the idea to leave. It's like I give you permission to leave and then you go.
Yeah, I know. I feel like you do it because you do it as a formality and you're like, you're welcome to leave. And I'm like, okay, bye. And you're like, are you serious? I can't believe you're leaving. And I'm gone in the wind.
I feel like it's been a hot minute since we recorded. I feel rusty.
Yeah, I do. I feel uncomfortable. This is
people are listening to us again. It's weird.
I feel like less people are listening to us now, which means that our rep is not as good as it used to be, which I kind of like.
Wait, but I'm going to mute myself because I have to be on the toilet.
Oh, okay. Well, here I go, rambling.
2 hours later.
The audience can't see me, but I remarked to Trisha earlier that this lighting makes me look white. So, in a sense, I am cosplaying as a white person, taking away Trisha's voice.
Girl, you be looking caramel. You be looking delightful. I feel
good. I guess cosplaying is a good way to segue into the conversation, right? Because this episode, we decided to do a social experiment. In which we would switch places. And by switch places, I mean we're still virtual, but we're becoming each other and seeing what happens.
Yeah, so basically me and Ambar went full method and we decided to adopt each other's physical appearances, mannerisms, day-to-day habits, eating habits, just sort of performative functions, you know, going to class as each other, being around friends as each other. To the degree of even texting as each other, we had to post on social media sort of as each other. You know, when you go method, you go full. And it was something else. I mean, the experience arguably was enormously taxing and scary. I would sum it up as almost, and I'm sure you felt this way from the conversations we had, but it's like, it is a genuine loss of self. But I do want to talk about a little bit what the at least expectations or boundaries were for both of us, because before we started, you know, we wrote out a list of traits we would adopt, and if we want to share some of those, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, you want to share screen that document?
Yeah, I do. Hold on.
I think it's really funny because originally we weren't supposed to be each other. We were supposed to play literary characters that neither of us personally related to. So. Trisha was supposed to be Daisy Buchanan from Great Gatsby. And it's not to say that I'm like Daisy Buchanan, but we do share a lot of the same qualities, you know, of artistry, an appreciation of fashion and aesthetic, but also an ability to shut down completely. And I was supposed to be Bella Swan, who is supposed to be docile, quiet, introverted, sardonic, things that Trisha almost resembles, you know?
Yeah, I'm a Bella Swan type. Ambar is a Daisy Buchanan type. Both really bad types to be in some cases. And maybe just, we eventually realized we were just playing each other. And therefore, we might as well just play each other. And that gave us a lot more room to talk about certain things. So if Ambar, since your list is already up, if you want to share some of the things you had to do.
Yeah, so we did not write... Like, I wrote the qualities of Trisha, and she wrote the qualities of myself. So I saw Trisha as intuitive, curious, a pacifist, so not interfering, which is difficult for me because I feel like I'm the opposite. Compassionate, which is something I can work on, but do not work past 9:30. Trisha is very strict with her schedule. I am not. Early riser, sardonic, uncomfortable and sappy, communist manifesto, reclusive, shy, nostalgic, only eating chicken, showering at night, don't get pimples, and text like Trisha, which is just LMAO.
Yeah, I text like a straight male. It's so tragic. Yeah, and so for Ambar, we had set the boundary to 3 days, which was all Ambar's idea.
Yes.
That's FYI, because I knew 3 days would be too much to this extent of like performativity. But
we'll get to that soon enough.
Yes. So for Ambar, I had outspoken, just because she's an advocate. I said overly caring and concerned. I mean, you're going to notice how opposite these things are and how difficult it is to emulate them. Dramatic and angry, well-dressed, healthy eating with few snacks, so a lot of fruits / cookies. Complain about blood sugar and diabetes every once in a while. Depressed / gay leaning. I couldn't play that one that well. I'm very hetero.
Which also, is like, gay leaning is now completely gay.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, let's all clap for that one because that's a fun one. Loves adult animation, so cries over peppy feminine drama. Very into sisterhood, intellectual, theatrical. Wears makeup, which is difficult for me because you guys can't see me, but I never wear makeup, and I will talk about that. Stay up late, wake up early. I also don't sleep past 10 o'clock. Like, I never go to bed after 10. Like, I have to sleep at 10 o'clock. And she sleeps very late, so that was very difficult. Keep in touch with friends just to talk. Hate doing that. Vocalizes pain, dislikes feelings. So again, just talking a lot. Do work willy-nilly and take breaks to stress willy-nilly.
To emulate, I don't do anything willy-nilly. She chose that phrase completely on her own.
I did. Be as busy as you can. I was supposed to do this, but I didn't, which was re-download Hinge as Ambar, but I just didn't even want to do that. Test like her, so be quirky and very proper. Say things that, like, I love that, and I love you, and be endearing. I couldn't really quite get to I love you, but that's a Trisha thing. Interject personal anecdotes whenever possible. Alternate between contacts and glasses. Maybe wear a dress. And are really, both our boundaries for the whole role-playing thing was no acting in class, although I think we broke that because we did emulate each other in class. Go full method, so dressing style, self-care, interactions with friends and family, eating, and follow characteristics to whatever degree possible.
But we soon realized that Trisha had a higher degree possible than I did. So I think, Trisha, it would be really interesting to hear your experience first, because I feel like it was more difficult for you in the most superficial of ways.
Yeah, it was very different. You know what I mean? I have notes from day one to day two to day three. So I'll just start with day one. Maybe we'll just do it this way, day one, day two, day three. Yeah. So day one, I woke up and I was like, do I wear full makeup? And I don't even know how to put on makeup to all my listeners. Like, literally don't even know how to wear it. So I was like, that's not going to happen today. So let me do my hair and get dressed in the morning, because I don't do that. I tend to just come down like hair willy-nilly, wear my pajamas. Like,
someone
just
really does everything willy-nilly.
I really be doing everything willy-nilly, guys. It's a phrase I use a lot. So I put on clothes, I did my hair to what I thought Ambar would do her hair as, and I came down like relatively, not happy, but just like peppy. Like, my parents and me, we have like, you know, if you're South Asian, you know what I'm talking about, but it's just very like laissez-faire, hands off, you know, chilling. So when I came down, I was like, oh, good morning. Like, what'd you have for breakfast? And my dad was so confused and asked if I was in a good mood. And I was just like, no, just my normal, regular mood. But in my head, I'm like, I don't even know why we're talking right now. I just want to eat. But then I realized I had to eat like Ambar. So it's cereal with bananas in it, which is just like, I don't know, felt
it's
like
your vibe.
Yeah, it really did feel like your vibe. It was good. I mean, I won't deny it was peanut butter cereal with bananas. Can't be bad. Yes. And then you know what happened? This is interesting, and you can talk about this. I spoke to you about an hour after that morning, like into the morning. You were horrified.
I have notes on that.
Yeah, if you want to talk about that.
So aesthetically, I did notice a difference, because obviously when someone goes barefaced, the majority of the time, and suddenly they put in some sort of perceived feminine effort, it's very noticeable. So that was nice to see, if not only to see her being me, but just to see her in a different way. That sounded really romantic, and that's not at all what I meant.
Yeah, because Ambar's a lesbian now, she's attracted to me. I swear.
Trisha is the straight girl who has the ego of everyone's in love with me. I can't help it. I'm just so great. But what annoyed me most was her inflections, because Trisha is a really good mimic. And so she spoke like me. She had my weird cadences. She was twirling her hair a lot. And I know I do that because I have to pick up my curls. She did it with the air of a ditzy cheerleader. And not to say all cheerleaders are ditzy, just the stereotype. That's what it was. And it was so uncomfortable watching myself, because it wasn't me. It was me as a character, you know? And so I was like, oh my God, I'm obnoxious. I'm incessantly positive. I'm airy, dreamy, whimsy. I am solution oriented and I play with my hair a lot. And then I wrote, are we really as insufferable as we think we are? And I said, yes. You know?
I mean, I think a great unifying theme of this whole thing is, and I'll talk about it later too when we're sort of concluding, but it's what makes us who we are. Like, what is it that makes us who we are, and why do we place so much value on these things? Because, you know, as the day went on, I genuinely felt horrible deep within myself, not because there's anything horrible about you, but it's just there's something horrible about knowing that you're not being who you are, whatever that means. And so I basically was texting people as you, and I felt very serious. And thankfully, Juliana didn't really notice. Although by the time I got to class, we had to introduce people, and I had to introduce her as you. And I knew if it was me, I would have said something like offhand and mean just to go for the laugh. But I was like, Ambar wouldn't say something mean in front of the whole class. She would go for like nice and kind. So I said the nicest thing I've probably ever said. And Juliana immediately unmuted and went, I just want the class to know that that's the nicest thing Trisha's ever said to me. And I think it's because we have an audience. And then she just kept going. And I was like, it was on par.
I like that Juliana used the word for the audience, because she understood there was an air of performance. She just didn't know how much.
Right. No, because it was so out of character that even it was perceptible to a and I like that what was so out of character was me being nice. Like, it really made me, I mean, that's just a side note, really made me think for a minute, but not in a bad way. I was like, I want to go back to being mean. I don't like being nice. But yeah, it just, by at that point, I also just felt very panicky and out of place in my own body.
Yeah, which
is very scary. And it's an experience I don't wish on people. But I ended up staying up till 11:40 that night. And in my notes, all I have is stayed up till 11:40, nightmarish, cranky. That's all I have. It was not fun. I just felt so drowsy.
Yeah.
The whole time. And I was like in my bag. Like, those are in your bag hours. And I felt sad.
Like, welcome to the hours.
Literally from 11 to 11:40. And nobody's ever seen my room. But I have very big windows, and you can see the moon like straight out my window, and moonlight filters into my room in a very poetic and beautiful way. And I love my window. It's very dramatic. And at 11 o'clock, it feels even more dramatic. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, this moonlight on my bed and me and the night, and it's too much. It's just, I'm too English majory and it's too much.
Moonlight said it's booty call hours. Let me light you.
Facts. But also, yeah, I managed to make it that whole day as you.
Yes. You did commit to the role much more than I could.
Yeah, if you want to speak about day one, go for it.
So I am a person with depression and anxiety. It's diagnosed. I take medication for it. It's fine. And in addition to it, I've had to build a lot of coping mechanisms to feel comfortable, like I don't get anxious. And so it's funny, because on a surface level, like, take dressing up, for example, that's something that could be seen as, oh, she just likes fashion. But for me, it's also just a method of like control. Like, if I feel like I'm well dressed, that's one less thing I have to worry about. I feel like at least visibly I'm putting up a front that I have everything under control. And so Trisha doesn't have that. She prefers to dress as comfortable as possible, function over fashion, which is admirable, and I wish I could do that. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be exciting. Maybe it'll give me a break. It did not give me a break. I had to part my hair to the side. I had to wear glasses out of function rather than choice. I had to wear a pajama shirt as a t-shirt, because I don't wear t-shirts. And I wore jeans. And admittedly, there were jeans Trisha probably wouldn't wear, but I wore them.
Because I saw your jeans that day and I was like, nah, bro.
It was for me. That was a rebellion. But those simple acts, which are superficial, felt so important to me that I couldn't understand that morning why I was so off. And it was tied to the clothing. I also had a class that morning and I did not participate as much as I would have liked. And I know we said no acting in class, but Trisha did it. I did it. And it felt so different. We had a group thing on Zoom, like a breakout room. And usually I'm the one that's leading those activities. But because I was in Trisha's headset, I was so annoyed when someone else started leading, not because I wanted to lead, but because they were doing such a peppy, poor job of it that I just felt like, you know what? We might as well just stay silent. No one talk because this is awful. So throughout the day, I had to stop. And I told Trisha about it and we talked about it. It was uncomfortable. It was wearing a different skin. And I know that was the purpose of the experiment, but I had assumed that it would take longer for me to get to that point, and it didn't.
Yeah. Well, I think also the difference is it depends how you cope with things, if that makes sense. And I think, like we've said before, it's also dependent on how much you're willing to vocalize your feelings about what's happening to you. And you are already very vocal. So I think a part of you was also very in tune with how wrong that felt, like pretending to be someone else, especially when you go to the extent of going fully method. It's not even pretense. It just feels very self-critical at that point, which is something we should talk about. And I'll talk about in day two, because I got weirdly introspective in day two. But yeah.
So was that the... Okay, no, I remember exactly how this was set up. Go.
Okay. So day two, basically what happened, I wore makeup. I literally only wore lipstick. And it's something I really want to talk about for anyone who's ever had anxiety or just felt really out of their skin, because I really struggled with that. But I wore lipstick and I was wearing like a nice shirt. And my dad literally, poor dad, so confused. He was just like, why are you dressed up? Like, it's the morning. I don't understand. Like, he was truly like, I don't understand. Like, what are you, is this a fashion show? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just wearing clothes, you know, just chilling, whatever. He was very confused. But then what really started giving me anxiety is my house has cleaning ladies who come, and they came, and I just felt, it's one thing when your family sees a change, it's like whatever, you can sort of, it's almost comical in the sense that you can like skirt around that, but when it's like real outsiders in a way, it feels even worse, because you're like, you guys see me every 2 weeks, I'm sure you don't even notice anything because you're here to do something, but it's just like, to me it felt like exposing, because now it was becoming my method acting wasn't just like a house thing, it was like a, now it's coming in contact with the rest of the world, and I feel very not me.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'm presenting the wrong self to the world, and it's just wrong, you know. And so I started getting really, really very strong anxiety at that point, and it was very early in the morning, and I kept thinking, you know, why is it that I'm feeling like this? Because, you know, what makes us feel like ourselves? Like, is it physical appearance? Because at that point, I was just so annoyed about the lipstick that it just kept harping on my mind. Like, I was like, I don't even want to see it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just started to harp and harp and harp. And I kept trying to understand, you know what I was doing in my head? I kept trying to think, why does Ambar do it? And I put this down in my notes, and it's, You can't explain why other people do what they do. So you feel dumb because you don't understand why somebody does what they do, whether it's the way they dress, the way they behave. You'll never get it. Like, I kept trying to understand why you do it. And even though you've told me, like, it's just for you, I could not explain that to myself. Like, it wasn't motivating enough to keep it on. So I ended up, well, I kept the lipstick on, but I ended up feeling so weird inside that I canceled my plans with a friend of mine. Because I was like, what would Ambar do? Would she go and just like swallow her anxiety? Or would she set boundaries and be like, no, I'm really anxious right now. I shouldn't be hanging out with people. So I pulled a U and I was like, I'm setting this boundary. I feel anxious, blah, 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 blah. And obviously my friend took it well and was like, no worries, we'll reschedule. But I was like, that actually had a really positive outcome, because if it was me being me, I would have went. and just been really anxious the whole time and left early. And my friend would have been like, she's being weird, you know? And it would just been something I had to explain. Eventually, yeah. So I gave up on being you midway through the day because it was just too much. And the lipstick was really making me feel weird. But also once I switched back into myself, I became really highly critical of myself. Because like, I just started noticing things. Like I was like, oh, I can stop being on Barb. But then once I was Trisha, I was like, ew, you talk so weird. And like, ew, stop doing that. And I was like, on Barb wouldn't do that. It was just so, like, I started becoming really weird about the way I was inflecting. And it sounded weird to my ears because I was being you for like a day and a half. And I didn't like that because I was like, I'm not really, now I'm not sure if Trisha's the right way to be or if Ambar's the right way to be. And I feel like I'm in limbo.
I think it's really interesting that for me, it came from watching someone else play me. And from you, it was just completely introspective. It was not a reflection of what I was doing.
It was completely, completely within. Well, also my anxiety got so bad at that point too. What's interesting about this is, I'm harping on the lipstick because it's the small things that really set anxious people into a spiral, I swear. And I told you about this. Lipstick stains. So like, even though I'd wiped it off, I wore red because Ambar normally wears red. And obviously there was like a lip stain. And just all day, every time I would pass a mirror, I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I was rubbing my lips so hard and just like nibbling at them because I was like, I just want it off, that they started bleeding. And I called you and I was like, I think I'm going crazy. Like, I just want it off my lips. And I had been putting Vaseline over them, just rubbing and rubbing and rubbing. At the end of the day, it came off and I felt a lot better. But something about even seeing the stain felt like a legitimate permanent stain on like my personhood. And I was like, I don't enjoy this at all. And by the end of the night, I was just so genuinely exhausted, sort of, by the whole performance. Although at one point we were speaking to our friend Avi on a Zoom and we were emulating each other.
Yeah.
And at one point I said something about tickling him because that's what you would have said. And you left the Zoom at 10 because that's what I would have done.
Right.
And I let the cat out of the bag and I told him, I was like, yeah, we're pretending to be each other. And he was like, oh, so that's why there were such weird moments. And I was like, yeah, that's why I said the tickle thing. And he went, no, Ambar said that. And I was like, no, I said that. And then that's what really scared me, was that he couldn't distinguish. I mean, to be fair, sometimes he's a little absent-minded, but just the fact that,
as most men are.
Right. But just the fact that he was so sure that Ambar had said it, I was like, no, I said it. And it's worrying me that you can't make that distinction.
Why does it scare you? Because for me, it feels like a testament to just the experiment.
Yeah, well, I felt good in my like acting skills. I was like, I'm really glad I'm picking up her inflection so well that Avi literally can't distinguish who said something. But I think it scared me because I was already starting to feel not like me and not like you. Like I said earlier, there was a sense of limbo I was starting to get midway through the day.
Gotcha.
And then all of a sudden he was also like, yeah, the lines are blurring. That's what that said to me. And I was like, oh no, I need the lines to be very strictly one way or the other, because I was starting to feel them sort of cave in on me, like the walls of who we are. And I was like, I don't like this. I don't know who I am. I don't know if my qualities are good.
Well, I can't speak to your experience, but for me, at least I can see the difference between the two of us, is that you have always been yourself in the worst and the best of ways in every evolution of yourself. For me, I feel like I've taken on different people I wanted to be because of what was around me and how I was socialized. And so if I was in your place when Avi was like, no, Trisha did that, I don't think I would have taken it as hard, because it's stuff that has already happened to me.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think that is the case, because like I said, day two, I got weirdly introspective and I was like, it's because I try very hard, at least. I never am anybody else, like anywhere. Put me in any friend group you want. I will always be as annoying as I am right now. I will always speak the same way. I'll always say the same shit I was going to say in private or in public. It doesn't really matter, which is something I really pride myself on. It's probably the only thing I've genuinely liked about myself in a very long time. And like, for that moment to occur, I was like, I don't really want to be anybody else. And I worked very hard to be myself this whole time. And I would like not to regress. That's what it felt like. It felt like a sense of regression. Cause I was like, it's not that it's on bar. It's that it's anybody. I could have been playing anybody and I don't want to.
Yeah. 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 No, I get that 100%. I also came to that conclusion, but I came to it a day earlier.
I think
for what it's worth, it was fun to do, but then it kept reminding me of like situations where it wasn't me necessarily switching with another like you on purpose. Like in freshman year when I was at TCNJ for the first time, and for the first time like in a predominantly white place and being in a white friend group and having to take on their qualities so I could assimilate and be like them, that those were the last times that I felt like this, like panicky and out of my skin. You know, so it felt good because I was able to bounce back from this as soon as possible.
Well, did you give up? You gave up day two and three?
For day two and three, I gave up the physicality stuff because that was what was fucking me up. The introspective stuff was stuff I could handle, you know? Like I was able to set the boundary of going to bed at 10. I was able to be quiet and cautious and more uncomfortable and sardonic, but it was just the superficial stuff that was really messing with my head.
I see, but this is what I mean. I wonder what that is, because there were superficial things that were bothering me, but at the end of the day, like you said before, it was the real, for me, the really internal shit that I couldn't get through, which was like the emotionality of who you are. And I'm getting to the point where I'm realizing that what makes people who they are is so different. And I think we find it easier to judge people for the superficial stuff. But you can also be superficial internally. You know what I mean? Like there were superficial aspects of myself that I didn't want to lose to play you that I had to, you know, like sleeping at a certain time or doing work consistently without stopping. Because that's like my mindset that I had to like rewire to be you, but it just wasn't authentic to anything I really would have done. Or setting that boundary, right? Canceling on that friend. I felt genuinely so bad about it for so long after that I don't even know if it was worth setting the boundary. Obviously it was, because it was a positive outcome, because I felt good in the long run, because I was like, I'm glad I didn't go.
Yeah.
But was it worth the sort of anxiety attack I was having anyways, if that makes sense?
No, I feel that.
Yeah.
Well, on a superficial level, referencing therapists, boundaries are always hard to set. And for this, it wasn't just that one boundary you had to set. You had to set arguably more for yourself than I had to playing you.
You had to let go of your boundaries. You had to
say, I think it's really funny because objectively, if we look at this, I had to go back to a place that I haven't been in a long time, and you had to go further than you've ever pushed yourself before.
I was going to say, it's funny because you said it was really hard for me, which it was, but I remember thinking even when we were doing this that it's going to be very hard for On Bar because you're in a place having gone to therapy and having, you know, had experiences where you're like, no, I now have come to terms with these feelings. I'm very much a repression person. You're very much an expression person. And that's fine. But for you to play me, you would have to regret. You would literally have to regress.
Yeah.
To a point where you were pre-therapy, which I don't think is worth it for anyone. Like, do not do this at home. Don't role play with somebody who's, you know, millions of years back mentally from where you are, you know? Because it's difficult either way. It's difficult for a person who's repressive to push themselves when they're not ready to express, even if it's playing somebody else. But it's very difficult for a person who has come to terms and is sort of on their way to mental stability to go, like, to go back and sort of put themselves in a depressive state. It's not worth it, I guess, to learn about somebody that way. Although I don't think this was about arguably learning about each other. I think it was more learning about yourself and, you know, how you present, what you value and things like that. I actually have a couple of articles that I found on role-playing, like social theory, like role theory and stuff in social psychology, which is very interesting. So they say that role theory is generally focused on roles as causes of behaviors enacted by individuals or groups and inferences about individuals or groups. So one of the fundamental precepts of social psychology is that the social and physical environment exerts a profound influence on individuals' thoughts and behaviors. And they kind of list the Stanford Prison Experiment for this. And if you guys don't know what that is, it basically is this experiment, psychology experiment that went on that basically had normal college students pretend to be in a prison. So a few of them were prisoners, a few of them were wardens. And within a short time, basically the prison guards, quote unquote, began to show dominant and abusive behavior. And the prisoners began to be really submissive and behave almost as prisoners, which kind of led people to believe that people are motivated to behave in ways that fit valued social roles. And in terms of us, I was reading this and I was thinking, is that not what has happened to us in a way? That me behaving like you in my household disrupted the family norm because it forced my parents to speak.
Yeah.
And we don't talk, and that's fine. Like, we're very comfortable with that family dynamic. We do not speak all day, and that's okay. We don't really need to interact. We eat separately. We do things separately, and that's fine. But once I was you, I had to keep pulling them into conversation, which they did not appreciate, which I felt uncomfortable doing. And I was like, obviously we've been socialized in such different ways that our behavior is going to present so differently. I mean, that's at least one explanation for like a part of why you present the way you present is just all these external things.
Yeah.
Before you get to a point, arguably, maybe some people never get to the point where they can internally figure out who they are. You just always are using your social environment to like put pieces together, you know?
I think for me, what I was doing is you didn't disrupt my house. And it's because I've had to, every time I come home, I've established that I have to establish lines, that I end up becoming a recluse in the house. And so becoming someone who's already reclusive wasn't out of the norm. And so it was strange because every time I came down into the kitchen, I thought my mom would say something about what I'm wearing because she usually does. And she just didn't notice anything. And the only thing she commented on was the side parting. And she was like, oh, doesn't that feel weird? Like every time you flip your parting, your head just feels heavy. And I was like, you don't even know how heavy my head feels right now. So it makes me, I don't think I'm going to look back on this experiment as something that was formative for me. I think it for you, it's going to be very different.
My dad walked into the kitchen and he's making noise. So it's going to show up on the recording.
A few inches later.
You know, Laura could cut in Mitski's washing machine heart right now in tune to the washing machine. I would be
fine. Not cut Mitski into my podcast.
Maybe the reason why Trisha doesn't like Mitski is because she is a straight girl. I'm just going to say it.
Okay, that's unfair though. I like so many like gay favorites. Come on. I'm a big fan of Cher. You can't even add me. I may even be Cher's biggest fan.
No, what I really think, I think Trisha doesn't like intentional forms of femininity. And that's all what Mitski is about. The funny thing is I think Phoebe Bridgers does the same thing, but it's sadder, and that's why Trisha likes it.
I was just about to say, the only difference is that hers is sad.
The thing is that she also has super sad songs. They're just her older stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I think her voice is also just like a few like octaves higher than Phoebe's.
It is.
And it just
sounds like a bird. It's very pretty.
Falsettos, but especially, and I hate to say it, and I think this is, again, this is like the indoctrinated heterosexuality, but somehow female falsettos bother me, like just women's pitch. I'm telling you, I both talk like a straight male and I text like a straight male.
LMAO, yeah.
You're so funny, haha. That's hilarious.
I wrote that down. Trisha said, I don't remember if she said it in conversation with me or with someone else and I was there, but she said, haha, funny joke, and I wanted to kill her.
Yeah, I wrote it in a text. Like, you pretended to be me and you said, I don't think I've ever taken a poop in my whole life. Because you were pretending to be me making that joke. And I was like, haha, funny joke. Felt very real.
Yeah.
Had we both given up by day three? I think so.
Yeah. Like on the most obvious committed stuff, we had to.
I think I actually fully gave up by day three. I actually think I just totally dropped the act and I was like, I can't do this for another day.
There came a point, I think it was on my first day, when we were FaceTiming each other and we just both mutually said, we're not each other right now. We're just being ourselves.
It's funny because you made that rule. Sort of to go back to, I guess, where we ended before all the noise, was you were saying it was going to be more formative for me. Okay. Well, you were saying it was going to be more formative for me. And in a way, it was, only because I had to go fully method for a day until you, because you were already so uncomfortable with me being you on the phone that you switched the rule your first day.
Yeah.
And you were like, actually, can we just be ourselves with each other? And that was what was difficult, was especially seeing your reaction to me being you.
Yeah.
Because you were so horrified that I was just like, I feel weird. Like, I feel like, you know, identity theft. It feels like you're stealing something
from me. Oh, absolutely. And I think part of it was just like, I don't want to subject her to...
This podcast is a mess. A mess.
Can you hear my mom?
Yeah. I don't think I picked up on the recording, but it was yelling.
It's embarrassing. My brother is getting yelled at right now and threatened to get his door taken off. See, that's one thing I just don't want to do. I feel like privacy, regardless, needs to be protected for kids. And so I will never take doors off my kids' doors. Ever. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I once had to ask you if grounding was a real thing. Cause like, I've never done that. Like, we were all, but to be fair, there are different levels of like, my parents were just straight up like, if you misbehave, we'll whack the shit out of you. Which are, it's like, both things are just messed up. Grounding and abusing your kids. Not cool.
Yeah.
But
there, yeah, I mean, you know, I was grounded in college as well, multiple times. And so it's weird because I'm 21. What was I going to say?
We said some, oh, identity theft, because I said you were so horrified.
Yeah, I just didn't, I guess on some level, it's just like, I don't think anyone deserves to feel like that. So maybe Trisha shouldn't see my attempt either, because I promise it would have been poor.
I mean, I kind of saw it on...
Washing machine, heart baby, banging up inside.
It's lawn mowers. There are people mowing my lawn. And you can hear it in my living room.
Lawn mowing, lawn. Oh, she's getting up, folks. She's taking a stroll. She's on mute. Is this time for another monologue?
I dear okay, hope this not. Is as far as I could get
I
away.
I dear God hope to not. I dear hope not to God.
I dear hope not to God.
Paz con Dios.
Paz con Dios. Wait, what do we say about the bodega? We were like, paz con mi bodega. No, it was...
Paz con tu bodega.
Paz con tu bodega.
Peace be with your bodega, please.
Peace be with your bodega, please.
Someone put that on merch line, please.
But I guess to go back to what I was saying earlier, sort of as like a interesting caveat, is there was this article that was saying, I just looked up on Google what makes people who they are. Hmm. And this article popped up, and it basically was positing the question, what is a person? And more precisely, what does it take for a person to no longer be that same person? And I was like, interesting. And I want to read this quote out, and maybe we can talk about it, because I thought it was cool. It said, as human beings, we have a tendency to think of our personhood as something concrete and tangible, something that exists out there in the real world, and that therefore extends through time. However, it is possible that personhood is in fact nothing more than a product of our minds, merely a convenient concept or schema that enables us to relate our present self with our past, future, and conditional selves. And I took that to be the most, I mean, it was a very saddening thought when I read it, which was the idea that personhood is actually not a real thing, and that as unique as we like to think we are, is as concrete in our selfhood as we like to think we are, the self is actually just a made-up state of being. Which is,
I think for you it's devastating, because you refuse to believe in any form of existentialism. And this feels like a very existentialist thought, right? The idea that if nothing matters, then if there's nothing to grab onto, if there's nothing for you to feel as if there's like a foundation under your feet, even for yourself, then what's the point?
Well, I mean, I do agree to an extent that people just continuously buy in to philosophies. Like, I think that, I don't think a single person has ever had a really unique thought ever. Like, I think we're all just sort of backwashing old thoughts and regurgitating and maybe even forming new thoughts on top of old thoughts. But at the end of the day, it's not like anybody's really thinking of anything no one's ever heard of before. In a way. So I'm not surprised that selfhood is constructed of things in the past or the present or whatever. But I just think it's sad to think that there is nothing that really makes us who we are. We just pretend like there is. And it gives us anxiety, and it makes us feel like our identities are being robbed. But in essential, I mean, if we're getting really essential, then we don't really have anything that's an identity. It's just a vessel and a couple of organs inside the vessel.
But isn't it nice still that it's not just you who's going through that, it's other people?
No, I think that's what I think is so beautiful about it, is it's the most human thing in the world.
Because even with writing, you find these stories that you love so much, because they're so specific, they become universal. You know?
Yes. I mean, I think it's the most human thing in the world to believe that you are someone, and that there are other people who are also like you or not like you or whatever, which is cool.
So in this simulation in which we're all pretending we have our own personhoods, how would you describe your own? This false simulation that you have to cling to. Ashley is muted, so I will go first then. I think for me, a lot of my selfhood comes from, well, is selfhood really different from personhood? Is selfhood supposed to be internal and personhood supposed to be external? Is there really a difference between the two?
I was going to say that they're definitely a little different, only in the sense that, like, you can be a person without having a sense of self.
Haha, yes. I think for me, it has to do a lot with external aesthetic. I really like feeling pretty. I like taking care of myself. That feels like something that is like giving myself a hug. But if I'm thinking in terms of selfhood, I do think I do have an idealism that can be annoying at times, even for myself. I think a lot of it has to do with empathy and emotion over intellect first, but I'm okay with that if I'm just putting it down to the bare bones, you know? What about you?
I understand that. I mean, there are just so many positives that come out of having certain traits from your personality that I found to be true, right? Like I said, there were a lot of positive outcomes for some of the things that I was doing, like being nice and being, you know, when you put positivity out, positivity kind of comes back. It's like a boomerang. It's kind of the same with negativity, right? I throw that out there and all the time I get people who stink, but I wonder if it's because I stink, you know? I feel like for me, at least in this constructed selfhood, the only thing I can say for sure is that I am who I am. And we've said this.
She said Descartes.
Yeah, I am who I am 100% of the time. Whatever that may be. I feel like I can't necessarily say I'm positive, but I won't say I'm like always negative. I just have a level of cynical hope, which seem contradictory, but they're not. I have a lot of hope for a lot of things that have potential, and that might be the teacher in me. Hmm. But my experiences have taught me to be cynical. So I float somewhere in that line, and basically everything that comes out of my mouth or any of the beliefs I espouse or anything of the above aforementioned things basically come from that state of those two things. And I don't deny it. Oh, also, this is pretty obvious, concrete. I'm a Marxist. So that's just like a concrete state of selfhood. Buy into that belief. And you can be me. And you too can be me.
There's a, speaking of Marxism, there's a, if you're ever going to download TikTok, there's a user called the Broletariat. And it's literally this frat bro who gives out presentations on Marxist concepts. But in a very frat brother way. So I think that's totally your humor.
Broletariat,
dude.
That, oh my God, but what if they did the opposite and they were the bourgeoisie? I laugh, and that's funny.
Is bourgeoisie really funnier than bourgeoisie?
Nothing's funnier than the bourgeoisie. The bourgeoisie. I just think it's funny because I'm the probably not the most bourgeois Marxist, but I'm definitely not a part of the proletariat. I just support and care.
She's an ally to the proletariat community.
Yeah, I care so much. Literally so much. It's fine. Just makes me upset when nobody else is a Marxist and it hurts me. Hurts my feelings just a little bit.
If you put out Marxist energy into the world, isn't Marxist energy supposed to come back to you?
You would think, but Americans are afraid of Marx and Engels and Che and everyone in the world.
If there are any whores for Marx or Engels or Che, you're always welcome to slide into our DMs.
Yeah. And if you're a het male who's also attractive, and I mean objectively, not like you think you're attractive, you can just slide into
Squash the one self-confidence.
You can slide into my DM.
Please don't go into mine. I won't reciprocate.
Yeah, she renounces men.
I do. It's wonderful.
Both hands up like a priest. You said, I renounce them. Sinners. Is there a gay church?
Well, there are Christian churches, yes, that do support queers, and they do actually have queer theology that they take from the Bible, which is cool. And you know what? I'm kind of interested in looking into that, but I'm going to do it secretly because I'm still...
That is very cool. I'm sure there are some in Philly or New York.
Oh, there absolutely are. Queer...
I would go to that.
Remember? That's the church in Fishtown?
Yes. Let's go to that one.
It did seem very white, though, so we will take it with caution.
I mean, nope, never mind. I was about to throw intersectionality out the window and be like, a minority is a minority, but that's not true. I mean, it's true too.
I mean, we need to go to Philly anyways, right? We need to go back to Barbuzo with Dan.
Oh, I was thinking Prettyburg. I got excited. You said
Barbuzo. Prettyburg's in Yardley. That's far from Philly. Is it far, or is it like my Jersey sense of self and time and setting?
Yeah, I'm also from Jersey, don't know how Pennsylvania.
The only state that matter, New York and a little bit of Jersey. That's it.
I was talking to a professor this morning and I was saying how I'm part of the people in Jersey that doesn't like Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia. I actually really like Philly, but that doesn't like Pennsylvania in general. Like, obviously I like pockets of Pennsylvania. Like, I like Philly and I like Pittsburgh, but you cannot catch me out in the farms chit-chatting.
Some of those places do have KKK members, so I don't blame you for that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Jersey was just such a sweet spot. I'm not saying Jersey doesn't have racists. It does. But, like, it's pretty dense. Like, it's densely populated, and it's pretty diverse, and it's on the coast, and I'm by a beach, and I can't complain. What does Pennsylvania
have? Okay, Trisha, airing out your middle-class traits.
Yeah, I said, I'm really privileged, and it's really nice, and I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to move from the status I am at now, both socioeconomically, politically.
You said no social mobility, please, not for me.
Yeah, I said, if I don't need it, no one needs it. If I don't need to move up or down.
Stay in your lane.
That is kind of what I said.
Well, I think this is a lovely place to end the episode.
Yes, yeah, stay in your lane.
Take it from us. There is nothing better than just being yourself. And we don't mean that in a nice, frivolous way. We mean, if you aren't yourself, you will have panic attacks. So
yeah, your lips might even bleed. So just...
My lips are happily chapped with my lipstick on, so...
Dude, I see your lipstick, and I'm so glad. Have you noticed me touching my lips the whole podcast? I'm just like,
no. You still have to mail me my $18 lipstick. Please find it.
I lost that shit. Well, I'm still looking, though. I haven't given up. It can't have grown legs. It's here.
Well, if a fan would like to mail me the same $18 lipstick, I won't say no.
She might say no. If you're like a creep, don't send me.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Big shout out to Kieran Choi and his brother Connor Choi. Check them out. You can find them on YouTube. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram. And also,
big thank you to our sound designer, Laura Feliz. She is a recent graduate of TCNJ's graphic design program. Check out her Instagram for more information.
Women of Dolor aims to alienate no one and address everyone in discussing topics of culture, society, and humanity in a way that bridges gaps of understanding and illuminates misinformation.